Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's nice to see each and every one of you back today. We're in Matthew 25. If you will turn Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30 this morning. So you're going through 16 verses this morning. One of my favorite parables, as last week was one of my favorites as well. Remember last week, if somebody ever asks you for money, tell them the parable of the 10 virgins, right? That's one of the ones I use a lot, but specifically about 6 years ago, when I was in a preaching class, in fact, I was in two at the time, I had to preach this sermon. I had to preach this message of verses 14 through 30 about the parable of the talents. And I'll never forget it because our preaching professor asked us, he said, "All right, I want you guys to pick out your sermons, pick out your passages of scripture that you would like to preach." And the one passage in the entire Bible that I did not want to preach was this section. And I thought to myself, which is the one? Which is the one that I want? And there was a certain one that I thought was called the parable of the tenants. And so I told the professor, I said, "I want to do the parable of the tenants." He said, "Well, which one?" I said, "Well, Matthew 25. And then when I let it go, I was like, "Okay, I'll think about it later." About a couple of months later, I realized I had picked the wrong scripture, because this one is the most convicting scriptures to me. And so when I got ready to preach it, I was like, "Oh no, not this version." Because what you're going to see today is when Jesus talks about His coming back, He's going to talk about these wise servants. There's going to be two wise servants, and there's going to be one that isn't wise. And it's the one where He gives five talents to one, and he goes and makes five talents. He gives two talents to one, and then the guy makes two. And then he gives one talent to another one. And then when that guy gets it, he buries it right. And there's this condemnation that Jesus or the master gives to that one servant who hasn't been faithful because he hasn't been fruitful. And I was like, "Oh no, not this scripture." And I'll never forget when I finally started studying and really understanding what Jesus was saying about the parable of the tenants. It changed how I viewed ministry. It changed how I viewed family. It changed my entire concept of what it means to be faithful and fruitful when it comes to following our Savior. And so I hope that you get to enjoy it as much as I have over these last 6 years, because of the truth that I believe it'll teach each and every one of us for our specific situations. So as you turn there, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, we do just love You. We thank You for Your Word, that Your Word brings clarity. Your Word brings truth into our lives. Lord, it shapes us for how we are to interact with those that we love, and it shapes us for how we're to interact with those that we have difficulty with. Lord, it helps us in the most difficult of situations of how to make it through. Lord, I pray that today that You will speak to us. May we hear Your voice. I pray that as we look at the parable of the tenants, Lord God, and looking at what it means to be both faithful and fruitful, I pray that You will reveal in our lives, Lord, those specific talents, those specific opportunities that You have right in front of us. Maybe, Lord, there have been talents and opportunities that we have been burying in the sand for years. Lord, I pray that today that we will stop burying them and we will use the talents, the opportunities that You give us, Lord God, because they are Your calling on our lives. I pray for the situations, for those in this room that have lost loved ones this week, for those that have medical illnesses going on this week. There's a lot of just pain going on, Lord God, in our community, within our families, Lord. And we just pray that You will speak, that You will move in their lives, bring the healing that is needed, Lord God, and the comfort that is needed. And we just, in Your holy name that we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, let me read it for us. Matthew 25, beginning in verse number 14. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability." That's key there. "To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the five talents went at once," or went immediately, "and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. But he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid it and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you have delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So, when we get to this parable, there seems to be this idea that Jesus comes, or the master, and we would refer to the master as Jesus, and it's talking about the kingdom of God. When Jesus comes back, right, the second coming, when Jesus comes back, that's what he's referring to in verse 14 when it says, "For it will be like," because the master has entrusted his servants with talents, with opportunities, and one day we will all give an account for how we have used those talents, how we have used those opportunities when Jesus comes back. And so he's telling his disciples, last couple of times we looked at a preparation, preparing for when the master comes back, preparing for when Jesus comes back. Well, today what he's focusing on is that in this time between when the master gives us our responsibilities, when the master gives us our talents or our opportunities, there is a long period between when he gives that opportunity and when he comes back and grades us on how we've done with the opportunities that he's given us. What's key to know here is in verse 14 where it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." Notice how it says the master entrusted his property. Not the master said, "Go make your own money, go make your own property, go do this for yourself." No, the master gives his servants the opportunity. It's the master who gives his servants the money. It's the master who gives you the God-given talent that is within your heart, that is within your soul. God gives every single one of his followers a God-given opportunity, a God-given talent. In verse 15 it says, "To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away." Now, in our day and mind, if I were to say that God gives you a talent, we would all be thinking about American Idol or something like that, of singing, right? Or, you know, Americans Got Talent, right? You'd be thinking about those type things, right? What kind of talent, when it's musical or acting or whatever it may be. But when Jesus talks about a talent back then, he's talking about a figure of money. And a talent equaled 60 denarii. A conservative estimate, since the denarius was an average minimum daily wage, and the current minimum wage in 1991 for us was about $5 an hour for an eligible 8-hour workday. Thus, the talent back in 1991 would have been equivalent to $2,400. Some estimates have talked about $6,000. Whenever they thought about the talents, they were thinking a lot of money. Think about like $1 million, right? And then times it by five, right? So there's millionaires, basically. They're given millions of dollars. They're given tons of money from this master. One's given five, one's given two, one is given the one. And so when they are given this opportunity, they're given this money, notice what the two do. He who had received five talents, verse 16, he who had received the five talents went at once and traded with them, and he made five talents more. So also he who had two talents made two talents more. The key that we see with these servants is that the first two, the ones that were fruitful, when they were given their opportunity, when they were given their talents by their master, what did they do? They did something, right? They took a risk. They traded. They went to wherever they could to try to make more money. They were given talents by the master. They were given talents by their master, and they decided to do something with those talents. God has given each and every person in this room talents. God has given each and every person in this room purpose. God has given each and every person in this room opportunities. And you know why I know that? Because in the three people listed, how many of them received zero opportunities? None. They all received at least one opportunity. What's hard to do sometimes is that we look at people in our lives and we go, I can never be like that person. I can never be like this person. God doesn't call me to do that. And so we start comparing ourselves to people that have five talents. We compare ourselves to people that have two talents. And then so often what happens is that we become like the one talent person that is too afraid to even try, that's too afraid to even use the God-given opportunity, the God-given potential in our lives. And the reason that I know that we are given God-given opportunity and God-given potential in our lives is because Jesus Christ lived the perfect life in our place, died on the cross for each and every one of your sins, and then rose from the grave to give us all a new life, a new opportunity from now through all of eternity. To what? To follow Him. He entrusts each and every one of us with talent, each and every one of us with opportunity to be used for His glory. But the problem is, so often we compare ourselves to the people that have the five talents. And when I began studying this over 6 years ago, I was in the midst of an internship where I was surrounded by five talent guys. I was surrounded by five talent women that were able to do things in ministry that I couldn't even fathom. I'll never forget, there were two of my friends. And we were all with Bible studies, and we were all with, we called them Bible fellowships. They're called Sunday schools now. And I'll never forget, one of the keys that we were trying to do is we were trying to evangelize more people. So we wanted more people to be involved in those Bible fellowships, in those Sunday schools. No matter how hard I tried, those classes or those Sunday schools that I worked with would not grow. They continued to just fall down and continue to get worse. These guys, they would walk in the room and 30 more people would come with them. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, they were just so gifted, and they didn't even have to try. They could get in front of people and preach and teach, and I was mesmerized by it. And they didn't even have to try because they were just that gifted. They could do anything. They could talk to people in ministry on the phone, and those people would end up coming back to the church, and they were so thankful for the opportunity they got to speak with that person. When I spoke with the people, they wanted to hang up, right? I mean, I sat there and I was just like, these people are what God is calling. This guy over here, this lady over here, these are the five talent people. And in my mind, I thought that's what you were supposed to be as a minister. I thought that's what God was calling them to. I was like, you know what? God, that's what a preacher looks like. That's what a teacher looks like. God, that's what a missionary looks like. I don't look like them. I don't act like them. I don't have the same type of results that they have. I'm like, God, I'm trying to be faithful with what you've called me to do, but I'm not seeing anywhere close to the results that they're doing. And then I come to this section of Scripture and I see that God gives everyone opportunity, that God gives everyone talents, and that when God gives talents and opportunity, He expects results. He really does, because if He's given you opportunity, if He's given you talent, He's not wasting it. He's given it for us to be used for His glory. And I'll never forget when I was going through all of that, I was just like, I'm the one talent person that is wasting God's opportunity, that's wasting God's potential, because I looked at everyone else around me and I said, I'm not like them. I can't preach like them. I can't be in a room like them. I can't answer like them. And so often what happens in our lives, we get discouraged from doing what God calls us to do because we're looking at the five talent person or we're looking at the two talent person and we go, I'm not like them. And we get discouraged from even making the attempt to do what God calls us to do. And one of the things that helped me so much is that, did God give all three of these servants five talents? No. Did He give all of the servants two talents? Did He give all of the servants one talent? No. He gave each person a different amount of talents. Why? Verse 15 tells us exactly why God gives different talents to each and every person. To one He gave five talents, to another He gave two, to another one, each according to His ability. Think about that. God has designed each and every person in this room with their own abilities, with their own skills. He's made each and every one of us different. And because He's made each and every one of us different, He's given us different talents. He's given us different opportunities. Some He's given a ton of opportunities. Some He's given smaller opportunities. See, so often we compare ourselves to somebody that has five talents. We compare ourselves to millionaires. We can... Or multimillionaires. We compare ourselves to politicians. We compare ourselves to a family member. And we go, I can never be like that person. And so we feel like a failure and we don't even try because we compare ourselves to someone else that has a different ability and a different amount of talents. And we become like this one servant who was too afraid to do anything with the one talent that he was given. And in fact, he begins to fear the master because he's not going to be fruitful, because he's afraid to even try. See, God has given each and every one of us a talent. And God knows what your ability is. God knows the opportunity and the calling that He has for each and every one of us. So often we get confused as what a calling actually means. We think that a calling from God means to be that we need to be a pastor, we need to be a missionary, we need to be, you know, something involved in the church. The calling of God is simply to follow God. When we've looked at the disciples in the book of Matthew, Jesus says, come follow me, right? He doesn't come and say, you're going to be my treasurer, you're going to be my building guy, right? He doesn't do that. He says, come follow me. The call of God is simply to follow God. No matter what it may be, God gives us positions later on, but the calling of God is simply to follow Him. And when God calls us, God gives us talent. And when we think about talents in our lives, think about purpose. God entrusts each and every one of us with His purpose for our lives. So the question is, what are you doing with the God-given talents that you have? So often what we've done is we compared ourselves to someone else and say, I'm not that person. That's great. Who are you then? What has God designed you to be? What are you good at? What has God designed you to be good at? For some of us, it's working on things. Some of us is electrical things. As you know with me, how many times I've been electrocuted, my calling is not to be an electrician, right? I mean, there are certain things that God has designed that He's wired each and every person to be. Something that you enjoy. You can use those talents for the glory of God. I promise you, you can. All you have to do is say, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with this passion that I have? God, how can you use me to lead people to you with the talents that you've given me? God, how can you use me to lead people with you with what I have right now, with the one talent? Or maybe I'm like, I don't even know if I have a talent. I have a denarii. God, how can you use it? God will use it if we simply take the step and follow Him. Follow Him with our talents. We don't want to be like the one talent person who was too afraid to try. And as we're going to see here in just a minute, the master is not upset with this person for not losing money. The master is upset because he doesn't even try. Let's look in verse 19 and following. We're all going to have to give an account one day for the talents that God has given us and how we've stewarded them. Verse 19 says, "Now, after a long period of time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Isn't that wonderful? Whenever we think about our loved ones that have had a relationship with Jesus Christ, think about this. The first time they enter into heaven, here's what they hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Any of your loved ones that have a relationship with Jesus Christ is the first thing they get to hear from God when they enter into their glory. Verse 22. "And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant,'" or "you lazy servant, 'you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest.'" Notice that the master does not say, "You should have been like the guy with 5 talents and 2 talents. You should have at least given me 1 talent back." He simply says, "You should have at least taken it to the bank," right? You can go to the bank and put it in a CD. You could have made a few cents off of it, right? I mean, you could have done something. The fact that he's so mad at this servant is because the servant didn't do anything with the talent that he was given by the master. Not anything. I mean, a penny. Even if he had had a penny more, I'm sure the master would say, "At least you tried," right? This guy didn't even try. He didn't even take the risk because he was so scared of the master. And that's what happens when we begin to compare ourselves to the 5 talent and the 2 talent guy, is because we look at them and we go, "I can't be like that person. I can't do what they do." And then we get scared to even try. And then we start to look at God, that God is looking at us in judgment all the time. And we're scared to even do what God calls us to do because we're afraid that we'll mess up. We're afraid that we'll cause someone to never become a Christian. We're so afraid that we'll mess up and that God will be so angry and so mad at us that we don't even try. And the moral here is what Jesus says, or what this master is saying about his servants, is that the difference between the 5 talent guy, the 2 talent guy, and the 1 talent guy is that the 1 talent guy is the only one that didn't try. Notice what happens with the 5 talent and the 2 talent guy. Both of them get the same reward. Did you notice that? The 5 talent guy comes back to the master with 10 talents. The 2 talent guy comes back with 4 talents. Notice that it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." The person that comes with 10 talents and the person that comes with 4 talents receive the same reward from God. Isn't that powerful to think about? Sometimes we look at ourselves and you go, "You know what? Billy Graham's going to get more rewards in heaven because he's led more people to Jesus. Billy Graham is the greatest, and he is going to be the one that God loves, and God's more proud because he has done so much. And we're going to look back at the Apostle Paul. We're going to look back at Peter. We're going to look at all these other people that have had great and wonderful ministries, and we're going to go, God is going to reward them far more than he's going to reward me, because I've only done this few things for God in my lifetime. The same reward is given to the five-talent person and the two-talent person. They both get to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a little. I will put you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." See, sometimes we fall into the trap that we compare ourselves against other people and we go, you know what? God is more glorified in that person. God loves that person more than he loves me. And it's not true. God is giving each and every one of us different talents, different opportunities. He's hardwired each and every one of us with different sets of abilities. And so often what happens, we become like this one talent person and we refuse to try because we look at somebody else and say, "I'm not them. I'm not as smart as them. I'm not as rich as them. I can't make a difference in this world because I'm not that person." Well, I'm here to tell you today, God doesn't want you to be that person. God wants you to be you. God made you you because you are special. God hardwired you to be the way that you are because he wants to use you for a purpose in this life. He wants to use you right now in the purposes that you're in. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're in the midst of an opportunity from God. You might be saying, "Well, I'm going through some of the greatest suffering of my life. It's been years of suffering." Jesus went through the greatest suffering of all time. And what did it lead to? The greatest opportunity of all time. Because when he went to the cross, he died for our sin, rose from the grave to give all of us an opportunity to have a relationship with God that lasts from now through all of eternity. Sometimes our suffering is even considered the greatest opportunity of our lives for God to do some of the greatest miracles that we could possibly imagine. See, what happens is that we begin to look at everyone else's life. We compare ourselves to everyone else and we go, "I can't make a difference. I can't, I can't." And we look at this person and we go, "I can't, I can't, I can't." And I'll never forget when I first understood what Jesus was saying here is that it's basically what it said to me was, "Sam, I don't want you to be Billy Graham. I want you to be Sam." Right? Insert your name. I don't want you to be whoever you're comparing yourself to be. I want you to be you. Insert your name there. God wants you to be you. And the reason why is because he knows your ability. That's why he's given you a talent. He's given each and every person in this room at least one talent. Every follower of Jesus Christ gets one talent. Every single one of us is given an opportunity by God for him to use our lives. The problem is so often we start comparing ourselves to everyone else and we go, "I can't be like this person." Then we look at our own lives and we go, "I've made all these mistakes in my life. God can't use me." I'm telling you, God has given each and every one of you an opportunity. Each and every one of us. Some he's given more opportunities to. Some he's given a large amount of opportunities. Some of us he's given just the one opportunity or the two opportunities. But I'll tell you this, the same reward is given for the five-talent person to the two-talent person. And if this one-talent person, if he had done something, if he had made 3 or 4 cents, right, if he had just tried, he would have been given the same reward. He would have been able to have been told, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will give you much more to be in charge of. Enter into the joy of your master." See, God calls each and every one of us with a purpose. And he calls each and every one of us to be faithful and fruitful with what we have. Not with what somebody else has. He calls us to be faithful and fruitful where we are with what we have. You might say, "Well, I don't have a lot of opportunities in life." That's okay. God's giving you an opportunity with what you have. Right now, God has given each and every one of you an opportunity. The hard thing is that when we start to do this, when we start to take that leap of faith and start trying to do what God calls us to do with our lives, it involves risk. And I don't like risk, right? I like to be comfortable. When you follow God in faith, it's going to involve some risk. It's going to feel like that we're sacrificing something. It's going to feel like that we're about to lose something, right? That's what happens when we take those risks. And when we think about the risks that are involved in doing what God calls us to do, when we view God negatively, when we have a view of God that God is simply there to punish us, then we won't take much risk. If we view God as someone that is encouraging us, helping us, pushing us forward with the opportunities, and in fact, God has given you the opportunities, and He's pushing you forward, He's helping you, He's telling you what steps to take. If you begin to think that God is leading the way, you'll take more risk. If you feel like God is standing in the back going, He's going to mess up, they're going to mess up, they're going to mess up, you're not going to try. But God is out in front leading and calling you with the talents and the abilities that He's given you. He's given each and every one of us talent. He's given each and every one of us opportunity and ability that He's hardwired into us. But guess what? He doesn't expect the same results from each and every one of us. He doesn't. He doesn't expect you to lead 400,000 people to Jesus. He doesn't, right? He expects different results because He's wired us differently. You start to think about how God has wired you. You start to think about your passions and your desires in this life. You start to think about how you're different from other people. You'll begin to start seeing how God can use those passions and those talents for His glory in this life. And that is how our fruit is judged. Not by some person over here that's better than us. He judges us by how He's wired us. And I promise you, each and every one of us has been given a talent. But what else? How does it end? Verses 28 through 30 tell us about those that are fruitful. When you are being fruitful with what God calls you to do, you get more work. Let me read it for us. Verse 28, so take the talent from him. This is talking about the one talent guy that didn't do anything with it. Take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Isn't it ironic to think about, if you do what God calls you to do, He'll give you more to do? Right? How many of you have been in a work environment where you have been the best worker, and then they don't give you a pay raise, they just give you more to do, right? And we're like, hey, come on, man. That's just the way it works. When you are faithful, then your employer knows that if I give them the work, it's going to get done, right? If you own your own business and you are faithful, guess what? More business is going to come to you, right? When you do what God calls you to do, He's going to give you more to do. Why? Because He knows you're going to do it, right? When you do what God calls you to do, more is going to be given to you. In fact, as verse 29 points out, it will be an abundance for you. But if you refuse to do what God calls in your life, if you refuse to use the talents and the opportunities that God has put within you, if you refuse, you will regret it for the rest of your life. You will regret not using the talents that God has given you. I love the imagery that it gives here is that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? There's this sorrow involved in the fact that he didn't do what God had called him to do. He didn't do what his master had called him to do. It's a sad thing to think about, is that when we don't use the talents that God gives us, it's going to be taken away, right? The opportunities that God is giving us will be taken away if we refuse to use them, if we refuse to do what God is calling us to do. And the reason why the one talent person didn't do what God called him to do, he didn't do what the master was calling, is because he was too afraid to start. Right? He was too afraid and he let fear paralyze him. And one of the worst things in life for us to do is when we're too afraid to do what God calls us to do, is to let an opportunity pass us, is to let those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities pass us by because we're too afraid to try. We're too afraid to sacrifice. We start comparing ourselves to someone else. We compare ourselves to the fruit that someone else has. And we go, I can never be like that person, so I'm not even going to try. And so we lose out on some of the greatest opportunities in our lives. And as the end of the parable goes, this person is cast out in the darkness. They're looking back and going, man, I wish I had done something. I could have done something. I could have done anything. God had given me the opportunity, and I just wasted my opportunity. And notice what's pretty powerful here, too, is that when the five-talent person, when he's given all of these resources, and the two-talent person is given his resources, notice they don't go spend it on themselves either. Right, so often what happens is that we get to where we have some abundance, we get to where we have blessings from God, right? And we start to take those blessings and we start to hold those blessings and we only use the blessings on ourselves. We don't ever turn those blessings around and say, God, you have blessed me so much, I want to bless others back. The five-talent guy and the two-talent guy, when they are blessed by their master, they turn around and bless those around them. They use the resources that the master is giving them to make more, to do more, to be fruitful. They don't take their two talents and say, you know what? There's this vacation spot I always wanted to get. There's this Michael Jordan's house is for sale. I can get it at a good deal right now, right? They don't do that. They go, you know what? The master has given us these two talents. How can we be fruitful with these two talents? How can we be fruitful with these five talents? Because they know it's not for them. It's for the master. God has given you a talent. God has given you opportunity. Maybe it's financial opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity with a loved one. Maybe it's an opportunity of a skill that you have. Whatever it may be, God has put opportunities in your life to be used for His glory. Not for our own selves, but for His glory. How can you use the opportunity and the talents that God has placed in your life to be faithful and fruitful? And I'll tell you this, if you begin to say, God, how can I be faithful and fruitful with what you've called me to do? You will see a change in how you view your talents. You will see a change in how you see your opportunities. You'll see a change in your life because you'll know that God is using you. And God has a plan and a purpose for you. And 6 years ago, when I studied this and started looking at this, I started to realize, why am I comparing myself to the five-talent guys? Why am I comparing myself to the two-talent guy? Why am I comparing myself to the pastor I get to work for who has 30,000 members, or radio ministry, TV ministry, all that? Why am I comparing myself to him? Because God has given him the five talents. He's got to be fruitful with the five talents. God has given this person two talents. They've got to be fruitful with the two talents. If God's only given me one talent, that means I only got to be fruitful with the one talent, right? There's more responsibility for those with the 5 and the 10 and 20 talents, whatever it may. There's more responsibility. And I started to think to myself, I'm just a one talent guy. And when we start to realize God has given us one talent, then we can go, you know what? I'm going to be faithful with the one talent that God has given me. Because if you're faithful with the one talent, guess what? It'll turn to two talents. And then God's going to go to those that are wasting the talents that He's given. He's going to take those wasted talents, and if you're continuing to be faithful, guess what God's going to do? He's going to give you more talents to be faithful with. We start with that one talent and say, I'm not going to compare myself to the 5 talent, to the 10 talent, to whoever. I'm not going to compare myself to them because God has not created me to be Billy Graham Jr. God has not created me to be Tim Keller. He's not created me to be Tony Evans. If He wanted all of me to be one of those preachers, guess what He would have done? He would have made a twin, right? God has called me to be Sam. God has called you to be you. He hasn't called you to be somebody else. If He did, He would have made you their twin. Since He hasn't made you their twin, He's called you to be you. And you being you might be a one talent. It might be a 2 talent. It might be a 3 talent. It might be a 5 talent. Whatever it may be, we all have at least one talent that God can use in our lives. It's up to us to stop hiding that talent and to simply say, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with the opportunity? What do you want to do with the talent that you have already instilled in me? How can I be faithful and fruitful with the talents that you have given me? Not how can I get more talents. It's how can I be faithful and fruitful where I am, in the situation that I am, in the family circumstances that I am. How can I be faithful and fruitful with what you have given me? And I'm telling you, when you begin to live that way, it changes everything. Because you're not living by a standard of trying to be someone else. You're not trying to be your mom. You're not trying to be your brother or sister. You're not trying to be that coworker from years ago. You're not trying to be the best parent in the whole wide world. You're just trying to be faithful to who God has called you to be. And as you are being faithful, you will become fruitful. And that's how it begins, is simply saying, God, you have talents for me. You have talents and ability that you've already instilled in me. You have plans and purpose for my lives. God, I simply want to be faithful to what you're calling me to do. Teach me how to be fruitful. Show me the steps. God's not calling us to a position. He's calling us to simply follow him. And one day you'll look back and see the results that God has been doing all along in your life. And it starts by simply taking the step of faith and saying, God, I want you to use me. I want to follow you with my life. It's not comparing ourselves to some great person. It's simply looking and saying, God, I want to follow you. That is how we begin to be faithful and fruitful with the opportunities that God has given us. And I promise you, God has given each and every person in this room opportunity. He's given each and every person in this room ability. He's given each and every person in this room talent. And if you were done with this life, he would call you home. Right? If you were done with the talents and the opportunities that God were calling, he would already have called you home. But because God has you here, because you're still alive, God has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has opportunity right now for each and every person in this room. Don't be like the one talent person who hid it. Simply say, God, I want to do what you call me to do. Show me how to be faithful. Show me how to be fruitful. And I promise you, he will show you along the way. And then you'll look back one day and see some of the results that God has been doing all along. Let me pray for us this morning. Lord, I just thank you so much. I thank you for this passage, how it has helped me over these last 6 years to understand the fact that you haven't called me to be somebody else. You haven't called me to be the next Billy Graham. You haven't called me to be Tim Keller or all these other pastors that I listen to, that I love so much and that I look up to. You've simply called me to be me. I pray for each and every person in this room that has fallen into that comparison trap. They've compared ourselves. We compare ourselves to someone and say, I can never be as godly as that person. I can never be as good as that person. I can never be a parent or a grandparent like that person. I pray for anyone who's fallen into that trap of comparing themselves to that five talent person, to that person that we look up to. I pray that we will remember God has uniquely designed each and every person in this room. He has a unique opportunity for each and every person in this room. And Lord, we simply have to follow you. It's not about being a preacher. It's not about being a missionary. It's not about being some position or title. It's simply about following you with our lives. And when we follow you, you take those talents, you take those abilities, Lord, and you make us fruitful. You call us to take risks. You call us to take steps of faith. Why? So that we can be fruitful. Lord, I pray in those situations where you are calling us to do something that we are scared of, that we're afraid, I pray that we will remember, Lord, that you're doing that so that we can be fruitful, so that we can have the reward of entering into the joy of your rest. Lord, I thank you. I praise you that you have a plan, you have a purpose, you have opportunity for each and every person in this room, Lord. I thank you for that. I pray for anyone here, Lord, that doesn't have a relationship with you. If they've never asked you into their lives, Lord, I pray that today they'll just simply say, Lord, I want to follow you. Here's my life. That's all they have to do. That's all we have to do, Lord, is just simply say, we want to follow you. You'll take care of the rest. You'll help us to follow you. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We pray that you'll guide us and direct us this week. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in your holy name that we do pray. Amen. Amen.